Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Let me introduce you to our friend Stephen Shapiro. Stephen M. Shapiro is the author of Goal Free Living. He is the founder of 24/7 Innovation Group, which is a management and education research organization focusing on innovation and breakthrough thinking. And you've heard him on this show many times before, and we're going to talk about what he calls the secret to living a more complete life. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You know, Stephen, we were just talking to our good friend Jim Ballard, who's been a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he and I were just talking about how to know how to determine what things you should work harder for and what things you should just allow to be revealed to you. In other words, how do you know when to keep pushing on something, and how do you know when to lay back and let it be revealed to you? There's an art, there's a knowledge, there's something. Maybe it's a skill. Maybe it's just having been thumped a few times like I have, that you finally figure it out. But it's life gets a little easier when you learn when to keep pushing and when to lay back, isn't it?
Absolutely. And sometimes I wonder if you feel like you're pushing, it may be a sign that somehow you're focused on the wrong thing. You're not being creative enough about the solution. I've actually found that the most amazing things that have happened in my life have almost seemed effortless, which actually can be a plus and a minus. When everything seems like it's coming so easy, you look back and say, whoa, did I really deserve that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually think that if you're creative about things, almost everything can be effortless.
Well, it kind of reminds me about. Do you play golf, Stephen?
I do.
If you hit a golf ball on the absolute perfect sweet spot, what the pros call a power transfer, you don't even feel the ball, do you?
No, and it's typically happening when you've cleared your mind. If you think about golf, it's a great metaphor. I tried this once. Because I'm not a great golfer, and what would happen is I would get up to the ball, and I'm trying to hit the ball. I'm trying to do it right, and I'm adjusting my grip and adjusting my thoughts and adjusting my legs and my stance, and I can't do it. So one day I decided I'm not going to think at all. Now, obviously, Tiger Woods has a lot of things going through his head, but when I was standing in front of the ball, I would literally close my eyes for about 5 seconds, get completely relaxed, and I will tell you what, it was the sweetest game I've ever had. The ball was just, oh, it was beautiful.
Well, and in business, I think what happens is we want that sale so badly. We want that we want that loan from the bank, or we want that prospect, or that employee, or whatever the deal is that we're working on. We want it so badly that we push to get it. When really what we really should do, it seems to me, my experience has been, is to check your position, make sure that you've done everything that you can do. Don't try to do what other people can do. Just do what you can do to make sure that everybody has the information they need and that you've done everything you can do without pushing, as you say. And then let the rest of it be revealed to you. But that takes a lot of patience that has to be learned sometimes, doesn't it?
It takes patience. It takes trust. We did a study once in a women's clothing store, and to support your perspective, we found that the people who tried to sell were less successful than the people we told to just serve the customer. In fact, we had one person who, what they were doing was just making sure they were taking care of the customer, and they sold more than the number two, number three, and number four person combined of the people who are focused on making a sale.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be effortless, especially when you are detaching yourself from a particular outcome, that is, not worrying about how things turn out and being completely present to where you are right now rather than worrying about something in the future.
But that is so hard to do, Stephen, when you got bills to pay, when you got a small business you're trying to grow, when you're trying to make things happen, you got to make payroll this Friday. It's so hard to lay back, isn't it?
It is really difficult, and it's why one of the things that I suggest is, and this still takes a bit of trust, but it has just been proven over and over, is that if you want to detach from a particular outcome, the best thing to do is reattach yourself to something else that's present moment focused, and about contributing to others. And again, it will take a little bit of trust that it works, but you'll see when you try it, even in small areas, you find that it's a successful way of running your business.
Stephen Shapiro, ladies and gentlemen, his book is called Go Free Living. He and I will be right back. More to come right after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. Stay with us.
I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care.
We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and that's Terry Stafford, folks. That's not Elvis. It sounds like Elvis, but that's Terry Stafford. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're visiting with Stephen Shapiro. His book is called Go Free Living, and we're talking about what did you call it? The paradox of performance. I like that term.
Paradox of performance, exactly.
How to know when to push a little harder, folks. We have the tendency to say, if I just try a little harder, if I just push a little harder, maybe I'll make this happen. And how do you know when to say, you know what? I've done everything I should do. I've done everything I can. And whatever happens now is out of my hands. I've done as much as I can do. And whatever happens, I'm going to be cool with that. One thing, Stephen, that I found that helps you to be more comfortable about stuff like that, and this is all part of the performance thing, is to have more than one thing to be waiting on. In other words, what an old mentor of mine once said, one proposal is no proposal. One prospect is no prospect. What he meant was, you got to have a lot of them. And I remember, you know, whenever I've had a half a dozen deals working that could close in any minute, I was a lot cooler. I was a lot more laid back about any one of them, because I knew that my chances, I'd improve my chances by having that kind of performance. What do you think?
Well, it is certainly in line with my philosophy. I've heard a lot of business people suggest that focus is the thing that matters. And I find that, in fact, if you, as a tree, scatters lots of seeds, not knowing which one's going to grow, at least one of them is going to grow. And I think there are ways that you can run your business where you are creating many paths, creating many opportunities, being somewhat opportunistic, which then just gives you greater odds of winning. So I find it much less stressful.
Well, I think so. That's what happens to us if we only have one deal, one possibility, then that deal is everything, and those are the ones you push harder on. And probably, if it fails, you probably were the reason it failed.
Probably, and you're also then going to create more of a perpetual cycle where you're going to convince yourself that you have to try harder next time, which is going to increase the likelihood that you'll fail next time.
And as my audience has heard me say many times before, if you need a loan from a bank, make sure you give your proposal to more than one bank. That's just one example. It would be the, you know, getting a loan from a bank, and yep. Other, as I said, customers are the same way. But help us understand this paradox of performance a little bit better.
Well, it's interesting because this has been studied going back even to the early 1900s. There were a couple of guys, Robert Yerkes and J.D. Dodson, and what they did were some studies to look at performance as it relates to motivation levels. And one of the things they found, and I find this to be consistent in the work that I do, is that no motivation equals no performance. And that's not surprising, but what happens is as your motivation increases, the more you want something, the harder you're trying for something, your performance increases to a point, but then it actually tapers off, and what you end up with is something that looks like an upside-down U. And so what I have found is the people who are present moment focused and aren't trying so hard hit that sweet spot at the top of the U. And I'll give you just a couple of quick examples. And this is something which I've done in my creativity classes, and it's always very interesting. So what I'll do is I'll take the room and I'll split it into two groups. One group on one side will be given a problem, and they will be told they'll have 1 minute to solve the problem. The group on the other side will be given the same exact problem and will be told they have 3 minutes to solve the problem. And it's something where we can measure quantitatively how well they did. Now, Jim, which group do you think would perform better if after 1 minute I stopped both teams? So the team that thought they were going to have 1 minute and got 1 minute, or the team that thought they were going to have 3 minutes and got 1 minute?
Well, the 1 minute group.
Actually, interestingly, it's the other way around. The 3 minute group performs at 50 to 100% better typically.
Really?
Well, what happens is when you put somebody in an environment of increased stress, what you find is that they tend to perform at reduced levels. And again, you need to increase motivation to a certain point, but then you can over-motivate them, and the activity is structured in such a way that the people with the 1 minute feel overstimulated to the point where they can't think properly.
They were thinking, their attitude probably was that without realizing it, what can I find out in 1 minute? The reason I said 1 minute was because, as you were talking about that, I was imagining myself in one of those two groups before you asked me the question. And I said, okay, if I were in the 1 minute group, I would be saying, I have no time to get into a lot of detail here. What is the, you know, where is the essence of this thing right now? And if I had 3 minutes, I might take a little more time to maybe even procrastinate for a minute to look at some things that maybe were not even germane to the issue.
Right. Well, the nature of that's a great point. And the reason why I wouldn't give them a problem that actually requires too much intellectualizing is for exactly that reason. So it is a series of discrete activities that they're going to do rather than one big problem they're going to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is each activity is equally simple to do, but it's how quickly they can do it. Let me give you just another quick example, which was really fascinating when I worked in motorsports and worked in Formula One. One of the Formula One race car driving teams that I worked with did an experiment. And the short version of this thing is the pit crews, who are vital to the performance and success of a race car team, found they went faster when they didn't think they were being timed. So I can
very interesting.
That one,
yeah.
Later on.
Hold on to that thought. Quick break, folks. Tintail. The book is called Go Free Living by Stephen M. Shapiro. He and I will be right back. By the way, this book is available wherever books are sold. Stay with us.
Something here inside cannot be denied.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stephen Shapiro is our guest. He's the author of Goal Free Living. Stephen, give us your website, please.
www.goalfree.com. GOALFREE.com.
Can they take the Goalaholic quiz there?
There is the Goalaholic quiz, and we, in fact, have a new quiz, which is also on your preferred success style, which will give you one of three different styles that may work best for you.
Check it out, folks. Thank you for making that available. By the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship that's been around about 10 years. That's where you can go and listen to the show a number of different ways. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, my blog. All that's there. And also, askjim.biz is where you can get your small business answers now. It's the knowledge base for small business. And, Stephen, we're talking about, well, of course, goal-free living is underlying all the things that you and I talk about, but we're talking about this performance, this paradox of performance, that and I like the way you said that. I like the way you use that term. It's something that small business owners deal with every day because we have so many challenges, so many things, so many opportunities to. But how do we spend our time and our energy? Where do we put things? Where do we expend our time and our energy and our brain power? And it's a challenge being able to balance all that, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And to me, for a small business, the thing that becomes really critical is to figure out what are the things you do want to focus on. And I have a thought process I go through for small businesses to do this. And the short version of this is basically to look at organizationally, individually, the things that you, the intersection of the things you love to do, the things you're good at, and the things that add the most value. So, for example, in my business, I know the pieces of what I love to do. I love to speak, I love to write, and I know I'm good at particular pieces of that. And then there are the things that create the greatest value. And I try to make sure as much as possible that I partner with others or outsource my work to others for anything that doesn't fall into those three areas.
If it's not your core competency, you let somebody else do it if you can.
Right, and core competency can be something I'm interested in, because the thing I talked just with an entrepreneur the other day, a small business owner, and he basically said every time he tried to do something, even if it seemed like it would create the greatest value, but it wasn't something that really got him excited, he found that they weren't as successful. And so, to me, it has to be the blend of things that you just really get very excited and passionate about, and you have the skills to do, and they, of course, they have to add value to others. And when you have those three things together, everything else, just try to find ways of getting rid of it.
And that is a good formula, I think, for people to use to decide what business to go into. But in reality, though, Stephen, sometimes we have to do things that we don't love as much as others, because those are the things that keep the doors open.
Sure. Well, then, in those situations, you obviously have options. One is you can continue to do what you're doing and maybe not love it as much. You can change the context. Sometimes it's not changing what you're doing, but changing your mindset around why you're doing it. When I worked in motorsports, what we found was that the people who worked in the manufacturing plant for the race car team were just making cars. It was not an exciting job, but these people worked for less money, longer hours, and loved their job, not because of the content of what they actually did, but the context they created themselves, because they felt like they're part of something exciting. So you can still shift your mindset in such a way that it actually gets you jazzed up about what you're doing.
Well, for example, when I started my business in the early days, I did everything because I didn't have any employees. And I did things that I didn't want to do, but my thinking was, if I keep doing this and I keep doing it well, one day I'll be able to afford to let somebody else do this. And so it was sort of a little, whenever I got to that point, that was a little success story for me.
Right. For me, I try to just find creative ways of partnering with people from pretty much day one. Because there are so many things that people are interested in doing, and you can find great barter arrangements or affiliate arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to find creative ways of getting people engaged where maybe they don't get paid cash. Maybe they get a slice of the work that we do, or maybe they get some other value or benefit out of it. So mm-hmm. or use interns. I'm using an intern on a TV show I'm shooting. I'm using an intern. Peanuts, but this guy's so excited to be involved in a television production. So,
well, who wouldn't want to be involved with you, Stephen? I mean, with you and me, I mean, when it comes to you and me, who wouldn't want to be around us, right?
That's a great point. Of course, everybody would want.
Exactly. I tell people this all the time. They don't always listen. Give us your website again one more time.
www.goalfree.com.
Stephen Shapiro, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Stephen. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.